All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm hockey insider Frank Saravalli, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles with Riley Cote and Derek Settlemyer.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Settlemyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorell? Yeah, I like your hat, bro.
Like this whole thing?
What? This whole thing? Yeah, you look a little bit like Sendog.
Oh, Sendog, yeah.
Yeah, Cypress Hill. I like that look.
Yeah, thanks. I know a guy who makes them. And
yeah, he's pretty.
Puts them out there.
Pretty creative.
Yeah.
Pretty creative guy. Hey, Debo. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you holding up?
Great.
Yeah, you look good.
Yeah, we finally won a men's league game.
There you go.
You didn't show again, but we found a way to win with eight bodies. It's tough.
Well, you're double
Not
shifting.
Not going to lie. We more than double shifting. Found a way to win, but luckily you'll be back with the group this weekend.
I will be.
For the game.
Debut.
God, it's crazy. Debo, when you got to pay this guy $1,000 a game, I guess it's a lot. You better perform.
And a helicopter ride in.
Using Frank Saravalli.
Yeah.
He's going to bring you in. It was a good weekend. Elvis got his first win with PHC. Team went 3-1. His little goalie partner, Max Golden, had a good weekend, too. The whole team did. It was fun. It's fun, watching them win. And they got a good group of kids at PHC, the 2014 team. So it was fun. Other than that, just been running around.
Yeah.
Like an idiot.
Yeah,
which
happens.
Is normal.
Yeah.
Without the DD.
Yeah.
You know, didn't have
you
any
enjoy
of that.
It.
Yeah. Making a hat, you know. I'm definitely making a hat, Debo, because I know you'll wear it and says
DD.
The devil's dandruff. I also made one that says orgy referee.
Did you?
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh. Moving a few of those?
Like crazy.
Well,
like crazy.
How could
no,
you
I'm
not?
Kidding. But yeah, man, nothing much going on this week. Just a lot of preseason games. Been watching, getting ready for a start for real here. One more preseason game left tonight, and then it's the real deal.
And it's on. It's about time.
I know.
I feel like we've been talking about this for eons.
I know. Luckily, though, there was, you know, the preseason could have been longer. It used to be, you know, when you played, we had 9 to 10 games.
Yeah, it was
playing
too much.
Three, you know, back to back to back, like, you know, but with only 6 games, I think that's probably smarter for the players. I mean, you maybe don't get the looks you want, but if you're a coaching staff and management, I think you know for the most part who's making your team and who's not. But Flyers sent a few guys down yesterday, Cal Peterson. I was kind of shocked at Ronnie Attard. I don't know if he hasn't had a great camp, but a few other guys. Anyway, so they're getting down to the number and getting ready to start here next week in Columbus against Ivan Provorov. I think he'll be itching to play that game.
Just a little bit.
Our boy, yeah.
Probably log with 35 minutes or so.
Yeah, you think Babs is going to his game plan won't be – it won't be there, my bad. Yeah. What about you?
What about me?
What you got going on?
Just prepping for next week, next Friday.
Yeah.
Got the 3v3 tourney, Snyder Hockey at the Wells Fargo Center.
Awesome.
Still a chance to sign up, so check out snyderhockey.org for more information. But it's our second year doing it.
We rocked it out pretty good
last year.
Yeah, lost in the finals in overtime, extra time.
That was a grind.
I was just trying to stay out of the way.
You did a good job at that.
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
You look good out there.
Especially the finals. That team was sick.
Yeah, they were.
You guys were keeping us in it, you and Ant.
Yeah,
Tony bailed on us.
He did.
But he says he's in. We got George Davison wants to play.
Georgie?
Because I'm not sure. I got to check on my schedule, but I'm trying to be there.
You better not bail.
It's not me bailing. We already talked about this. It's not me bailing. We'll figure it out. Debo asked if he could play in net, and I said, the goals are only you can.
Mini nets.
Just lay there. Remember the guy that went flying headfirst into it last year?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, I remember. Bleed. Yeah, yeah. He cut his forehead. Oh, yeah, right? Had a little net drive.
Speaking about the DD, I think he might have been on a little bit of that.
He might have had a hookup.
It's awesome, and it's cool. It's going to be in the center this year, although it was cool in Penn as well. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully a lot of people come out for it.
Yeah, just mentally preparing. I got to get my wheels grinded, Nass. The same ones that have been in the box for over a year.
I got rid of those?
Oh, yeah.
I got to get you another pair, remember?
Nass,
that was a mistake.
That's a huge mistake.
It was a huge mistake. I actually forgot. 10 and a half over there.
Oh, God. I forgot you got rid of those.
I got you another pair coming, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I do.
Are they?
I got you another pair coming. Oh, yeah. I had to take care of you already paid for them. I got to get you your skates.
Well, priming the body. Was going to prime the skates, but apparently not.
Well, it's
prime
next the Tovey. We have time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
the Tovey.
Looking forward to that.
Put a few in the net with that last time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, hot sauce.
I need some new Twiggies. Got to hit Richard up and Aaron.
You did have a nice snipe there tonight. I saw the...
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you talk about blowing a biscuit by a goalie, I did.
You had so much time in the high slot there.
I had a lot of time. But it's best stick going, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Best stick going.
Oh, Tovey. And what are your thoughts on this Hockey Canada announcement with the locker room and it showing up in underwear, or if you're going to change it in the locker room, you got to go into a stall in the bathroom? What is going on in this world?
That's Canada.
That's a good point.
So I should ask you that question, but it is... You know, as long as there's not a girl on the team, you know,
girls
play with guys up until, you know, they just can't anymore because of the physicality of being able to hit once you get to a certain age. But I don't understand that. But that's kind of
we're going into a scary,
scary
space. I feel when you just keep bubble wrapping people in the game and I understand it's always sold in the name of safety and security,
right?
But it's like, you know, these kids are wise enough, their parents are wise enough to understand, like, guess what, if you're uncomfortable, go change,
go in the bathroom.
But the reality is it is a change room, right? And
that's what it is,
and there's no shame in it.
No.
There's never been like showering after a game or practice is just what you do. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's, like, yeah. It's got no attachment to anything.
Once you get older, you realize that's what you do. I mean, I understand younger kids, they don't do that. They don't know, but you're right. It's
like, where do you go from here? And what's the next thing that you just kind of put your stanky footprint on or fingerprint on? It just seems to be shocking always that there's this new ways to, I don't even know what the word is for some of the stuff. It's just a stretch for, you know, for making things safer. I'm not sure if it does, if it has any impact besides
how that does, but,
you know, but, interesting news. It just keeps coming, the bubble wrap, the nerfing of the world, right? It's just, but you know, that's the world we're living in.
It is.
Cancel culture. Soon it'll be taking away pads because they're too aggressive. Guys are getting too hurt with the shoulder pads and whatever else.
Man.
But interesting movement. But I thought I'd bring it up. See your thoughts.
No, it's a little. I read it the other day and I'm like, what are we, like, really? Like, what are we doing here? But. You can chop a D and double D up in there, but you can't change it.
Yeah, but I think we're ready to rock here, Nash.
I think we are, too. Our good pal, Frank Saravalli, Hockey Insider. He's always got some good stuff for us.
Yeah, he does. Let's listen in. Episode 128. Let's go.
Here we go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are happy to have friend of the show back, Hockey Insider. I think he's the best around. Best in the business, host of Daily Faceoff Live, Mr. Frank Saravalli. What's up, brother? Good to have you back on, man.
Yeah, good to be back with you guys. It's a shame it's not in person. I guess out of fear, I didn't come over. I didn't want to get pranked, certainly on video. So there's got to be some kind of snake lying around somewhere that you'd get me with.
Oh, man.
It definitely is.
It's probably a smart play.
He's sticking at home there.
Yeah, he's probably
staying in studio.
I figured you just jump into your helicopter and just come on over.
Yeah,
you know? But, no, man, we really appreciate you coming on. We know how busy you are, brother. I guess just start maybe talking a little bit about the Flyers and what your feelings are. I mean, we know they're kind of in a rebuild. Well, they're definitely in a rebuilding stage. But what are your thoughts on what you've seen in the preseason, if you've seen much at all? And how do you think they're going to make out this year?
You know, in a funny way, I actually think the Flyers are actually going to probably be pretty improved. I know that they said goodbye to Kevin Hayes and Ivan Provorov. But having a full season of Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson probably, in my opinion, bumps things up a level. And I don't look, no one's kidding themselves here. Like, I don't think the Flyers are a playoff team. I think the tough part about the situation that they're in is they have a bunch of these guys that are on long-term contracts or contracts with a few years on them. And they can't really, you can't move out everyone in one summer. The teardown has begun and they were able to move a couple of those pieces, but not all of them. And that leaves you in this spot that's sort of closer to the bottom, but still in the NHL's murky middle. And I voiced this with you guys last year when I was on, and I really firmly believe this. And this is it's going to ultimately be a compliment. I think John Tortorella is the worst coach for this team. And the reason for that is, he squeezes every last drop out of every team that he has. And that's the sign of a good coach. It's just that when he was hired, this was a team that was trying to compete and trying to get back into the playoffs. And now they've gone the other direction and they're not tanking. You heard Danny Briere say that again recently. They're not tanking. They're not trying to lose games, but they've got a coach that has a competitive fire that burns, that doesn't go away, that rubs off on everyone else. So you've got Couturier and Atkinson coming back. You've got some young players that you're injecting into your lineup that are fighting for paychecks and full-time NHL jobs. You've created a competitive environment that ultimately for the Flyers this season is probably going to be to their own detriment. And that's a really tough position to be in, that I don't know how you handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good insight for sure. I was curious on your thoughts on the back end. You mentioned Atkinson and Coots coming back, obviously beefing up the front end there. You know, losing Proby and D'Angelo. How do you think that balances itself out?
Probably leaves the Flyers a bit thinner on the back end, which is why you see someone like a Mark Stahl come in. You keep a Nick Seeler who, as a pending UFA, making league minimum is probably going to be a pretty attractive trade piece. I think he's, you know, doesn't get a ton of love in Philly, but a lot of teams see Nick Seeler as this like human nail gun that, that really has a lot of nice intangibles for probably not too expensive of a price. And you're going to get to see, you know, more of Cam York and more of some of the young guys, that are going to be able to make an impact. The defense core for me is definitely thinner. But that's kind of, it goes part and parcel with what I was just saying about the Flyers in general of where they're at is when you look at the successful traits that sort of have tied some of the last few rebuilding teams together that have been able to bottom out and have a lot of luck in the draft lottery, whether it's Chicago last year with Connor Bedard or whoever it might be, what you run into is those teams didn't necessarily try to lose. Like no one was going to Luke Richardson last year saying, hey, you got to lose us some games. Yeah. It's that the manager, Kyle Davidson in this case, tore off enough pieces to the point where the ceiling that that team could achieve was only ever going to be so high. And I think for the Flyers right now, it's still probably too high given what their mission and mandate is, which is to try and rebuild and collect as many high quality young players as you can. So it's, they're in an unenviable position because you just can't, the demolition takes time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of people don't see it that way, right? And like, you always hear comments like, you know, like, why are these guys trying to win games? Like, you know, find me a coach in any position here, like, especially in the bottom half of these teams, actually going in into the locker room with a game plan to try and lose games. Like, as you mentioned in Chicago there, that was kind of from the top down. And you're only as good as the horses you have. It just happens, you know, as an indirect thing to the disassembling of the team. But yeah, the Flyers are in a different situation where the demolition has to continue for them to really kind of complete the rebuild, but which will take time. But I think I like to what you're saying, like the energy behind the Flyers and, you know, kind of like having that culture and that identity back. And, you know, he said like Torts, you know, he will bring that, but they're probably going to, you know, win games. Maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah, win more than they probably want to. I hate to say that.
Yeah, I know. It's always an interesting thing to say. And then I don't think they're a playoff team either, but I think they could probably challenge, you know, maybe that last wild card spot, at least, you know, put some pressure on a couple teams. But it'll be interesting. You know, at least the essence of the Flyers is there. Would you say, Nast? I mean,
I think it's definitely coming back.
Yeah, I mean, the direction of it, you know, obviously Danny and Jonesy and just kind of the people they've been bringing in, and, you know, little things from the logos on the ice to the jerseys, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like it's heading in the right direction for sure.
And that's a big part of everything that happens, right? You need to have buy-in, and look, this fan base has been through a lot. They have, I think, some of the best fans in pro sports, and just be, and I'm not pandering because I live here or anything like that. I was at the Phillies game the other night. Like you can't name a better pro sports city. Yeah, you just can't.
That's true.
But they've been through the ringer because they've sort of been promised a lot over the last number of years that the team hasn't delivered on. And it just so happens to come at a time where there's other places to park your money. There's limited entertainment dollars to go around to begin with. And if your choice is, do I spend it on the Flyers or do I spend it on the Eagles, the Phillies, or in some cases, even the Sixers or Union, they've kind of opened themselves up to that conversation. And it also wasn't just that there were holes and flaws with the roster and how things were constructed. It was the coaches that they had gone through. It was the attitude of the team. It was really from ownership on down that has been problematic. It seems like they've righted a lot of those things now, but the problem is that you now need to convince people that what you're saying is actually what you're doing. I don't think they're going to have a problem converting on that. And I'm with you guys and feel like they've begun that process, but the proof ultimately will be in how this team works, how they draft, the yeah. smart decisions and wins that they can find on the margins. And this is a no bullshit city. Like, I don't need to tell you guys this. You like, people can see right through you if you're not honest and if you're not true in what sincere and what you're trying to do. I think yeah. the Flyers have taken a lot of the right steps, but it's going to be a while. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to hang with them through the next handful of years in order to get to where you want to get to.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
But you're right. Like, these people see through it.
Oh, for sure.
And I think, like you just said, Frank, I think you can tell the right steps are being taken. It's just a matter of now.
Yeah.
Keeping it going and backing it up and
yeah. Advancing in the playoffs.
Doing the right thing.
You got to yep. stack each one of those wins on top of each other mm-hmm. to ultimately then to have people see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But I do agree. Like the foundational pieces are being laid. I think people are believing in this on a more authentic way versus just lip service. And say, you know, it's like politicians speaking. It's, I feel like the voices and the essence behind it is authentic, certainly a lot more authentic than the past. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting how this thing plays up. Yeah, for sure.
But what I was going to say too, is it's still a lot to ask.
100%.
Yeah.
5 years or whatever this is going to be. It's a long time. That's not this fans of this franchise aren't used to that.
Yeah. No, I mean,
the leanest years of this team, like you probably lived them, Nas, like the early 90s, there was a 5 year period, and that's kind of it in the entire franchise history.
Right. And even when Hexy took over, he had the 5 year plan, sort yeah. of like Dean Lombardi did in LA, but then it turned to, well, it's going to take a couple more years. Although we did make the playoffs 2 out of those 4 years a Hack was here,
yep.
right? And Chief made the playoffs one mm-hmm. time with, you know, a team maybe shouldn't have made it, probably overachieved that year. That's when the Rangers went to the finals that yep. year and mm-hmm. lost LA. But I mean, it's been pretty gloomy, except for we in the bubble. The player, you know, that was the year where if yeah. it hadn't got stopped, the Flyers were on fire. That was the year I made it halfway through, and then I didn't go back. But it's been a while, and it's going to be a while, I think, yeah. to your point, Frank. Like, it's going to take some time. People have to be patient with it and believe in it. So
it's a weird feeling around here. Like, it's an uncomfortable feeling being a Philadelphian, like covering and so deep into the NHL is. The Flyers have never really not mattered at any point in my life,
right.
meaning in the whole league structure. They've never been a franchise that people look past, and they lost their way. I think they've got it back, but to get to that level again, it's going to be a while. I think the satisfying thought process of that is once you get there, you should have a sustained run of success, meaning it should allow you for a 10-year runway where you're not just going to feel really good about it. You're probably going to have an authentic chance to win if you do it right. And so that's the payoff, right? Like, that's what you're asking people to commit to now is hang with us and we'll get you there. And things will be kind of like they used to be, where every single year is like death, taxes, and the Flyers in the playoffs with a chance to win the cup.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Patience game or the patience game.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Rich.
I was just saying, like, moving on past the Flyers, you know, in the Metro, what are you seeing? Is there any, you know, any news, any rumblings on your end, or is there anything that's kind of something for fans to be looking out for as far as, you know, the top teams, bottom teams? Has much changed since last year?
Well, there's actually been a lot of change in the Metro, depending on which team. Like, if you're the Islanders, you've had zero change.
Yeah.
And they're like, Lou Lamoriello at 81 years old is at the blackjack table quadrupling down on his hand.
Yeah.
Zach Parise?
No Zach Parise. Like,
oh, I know. He's not there, right?
21 goals last year, and they're like, hey, we were 24th in the league in goals. You can stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting move.
So then you've got the Penguins, who made probably the biggest bet of the summer in acquiring Erik Karlsson, 100-point defenseman. They changed out almost their entire bottom six forward core, which is incredible to do in one summer. And in the Karlsson trade, there was like a stroke of genius in that they didn't really give up a lot to get him. And they also, in the same deal, unloaded almost all the contracts that they didn't want anymore. So that worked out well. The thing is, the Penguins were already not a playoff team last year. And I just have some question about how things will look. How will the dynamic operate in Pittsburgh? Chris Letang for 18 years has been the pillar of that blue line. Now you have someone coming in that is going to steal some of his oxygen, certainly is going to steal his spot on PP1. So how does all that come together? That's a big question. I think the New Jersey Devils are legitimate cup contenders. I don't think there's going to be, outside of Edmonton, a more fun team to watch in the league this year than the Devils. They fly, they're creative, they're young. They're not afraid to you know, play wild and crazy. They're going to be awesome. I'm a big believer in their forward core. I think their defense is definitely weakened a little bit this year with no Severson and Graves. And I do have question marks about their goaltending a little bit with Vanacek and Schmid. But it's, you know, the Metro, you can kind of see it shaping up. I'll give you my eight teams in order. I've got the Devils 1, Carolina 2, Rangers 3, Pittsburgh 4. Those are my four playoff teams. And then I've got Washington, Columbus, the Flyers. Oh, sorry. I've got, so 5, I've got Washington, 6, I've got Islanders, 7, Flyers, 8, Columbus. That's my 8.
That's pretty close what you had there, Nast.
Yeah, it is.
You had Carolina first, but
well, Well, it was between Carolina and New Jersey. Yeah, I thought I was going to ask you your feelings on Carolina. I mean, they picked up, obviously, they got Tony DeAngelo back. They got a pretty good, 6D back there.
Best in the league.
Yeah, they're really good on the back end. And they kept both goalies, right, Frank? They ended up keeping all three. Really,
even the
Russian kid, but I'm kind of surprised you think the Flyers are better than Columbus, or they'll finish better, I should say.
You know, as I was saying it, I could see a lot of things happening in Columbus. I just think they're asking so much of their young players, who are really good, and I think are really on their way to being something. When you look at Kent Johnson and Sillinger, and I love their back end with the pieces they've added. Denton Mateychuk, he's going to be really good. Same thing with David Yurecek. Severson, we just talked about coming over from New Jersey. Provorov, obviously, addition to their back end. They're going to be better. And maybe you see the Flyers in that eighth spot. Entirely possible. I just, going back to what I was saying, I think with what John Tortorella squeezes out of his group, I see the Flyers somewhere between 80 and 85 points.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. So if you said to me, hey, Columbus is going to shoot all the way up to fifth and they're going to pass Washington and the Islanders, like, would my head fall off? Probably not. Like, look, this is the NHL. Six teams every year make the playoffs that we did not see coming. And six teams right. that we were like, oh, that team's a lock. They're out. Right. There's mm-hmm. massive change year over year. So to think that craziness isn't going to happen, you'd be foolish to think that way. It's just, yeah. it's a long way to go for Columbus. And I know they should be healthier. Then add in the Mike Babcock situation. Do they rally around that? Do they fall apart? What happens?
Yeah, right. What were your thoughts on that? Yeah. Were you shocked yeah. or not really?
What's there to be surprised about? I mean,
exactly.
You know, if someone's telling you who they are, you better listen.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we've seen from him for the last number of years. And sitting out 4 years, we got a lot of lip service heading into the summer, which was I've done the work. I'm talking to people about the tone and how I talk to people. I'm relying on my daughter. I'm asking for more feedback from players. You just can't do the stuff that he tried to do. Right. And you know what? As guys who have spent a lot of time in a locker room, I think the biggest impact to come out of this whole story is that you had 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids step up and say, we're not going to tolerate this.
Yep.
In the NHL, yeah. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that would never happen. No, someone right. would get chance. To you, whether it's a GM, a coach, the president of hockey ops, your captain, and they would say, shut up.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Suck it up, right? Yeah, it's the old school way. And I guess the question is like, I know he's all the lip service and said all the right things. Like, how does a guy like that get another job in the NHL? There's so many good new school coaches that communicate with their players that don't have the baggage. Like, how did he ever land up in that position anyways? Like, honestly. Well,
that's why I felt and wrote after the fact that it was time for Jarmo Kekäläinen to go. Right. 10 yeah. years in Columbus. I saw and that. You had one playoff round victory. You've made the playoffs as many times as you've missed. Your team was dreadful last year, a 58-point season. Why, like, this was an all-important hire that you knew you needed to nail. Do you right. mean to tell me there's not one other coach on the planet that you think could have came in and done as good or better job as Mike Babcock and not have all of that baggage?
Yeah.
That's not how I see the world. I think it's way more gray than that. I can't believe that you could get it so wrong that the guy doesn't even make it to training camp and then think that there shouldn't be any blowback on you.
Oh, I know. Right. I know. I still scratching my head on that one. I just can't for the life of me understand.
We talked
so
about
it. Can I actually ask you guys, happened. I want to ask you about what I was just getting at, because I really want the player's perspective of having been there. When you see players step up and say to the NHLPA who comes in and does their investigation, do you look at that in the new school way and say that's soft, or do you look at that and say good for them?
That's a really good question. I think it's good what happened. I think it was necessary. You know what I mean? It's like we have to call out like some of the real absolute bullshit, you know? And it's like some stuff is, you know, what you call is hard old school coaching and just like you just got to grind through it. But then there's other stuff that's just like unacceptable, right? I think this thing is like it falls in that bucket of unacceptable. And I think we are in a time and place where I don't want to use the term, you know, cancel culture, but it's like things that happen these days that cross that line are much more sensitive, right? I mean, back in the day, you just like dust it under the rug. It's just like tough it out, just the way it is. But like, I think we're some bit evolving as humans. And you know, part of me says the opposite too sometimes. But I like the fact that we didn't accept that bullshit anymore. It's like there's a fine line of being hard and then just being absolutely utterly disrespectful and, you know, crossing that line of personal privacy and, you know, disrespecting the players and the team, in my opinion. So
bullying young players while you're at it. Like it's one thing to say like, hey, Eric Goodbranson, you've been in this league forever. Let me see your phone. Like, but he didn't do that because he didn't have,
yeah,
I don't want to say the balls. He didn't have the courage to do that. He only wanted to pick on the younger guys. And I think everyone can get behind the idea of you're a hard ass at the rink. You're tough on guys in practice. You work them. You yell at them. All like whatever it is. Like everyone's cool with that, I think. It's like inviting a guy over to your backyard who's 18 and being like, give me your phone. I want to inspect it. Like it just... What is that? Yeah, what creepy, do you even mean about that player? Like, okay, so like, let's just like play the hypothetical game. He's got pictures of him drinking or broads or whatever it might be. Does that make him a shitty hockey player?
No, but he's got something to. He has something to hold over his head.
Well, it takes it to a whole other level of his strategy.
Takes it to another level.
Yeah, because now you got that's pictures, my right? Opinion, well, yeah, well, I think that's he can hold it over a player's head somewhere down the line. It's probably not even anything that he really wants to know in the immediate moment.
Yeah.
But once you got something on somebody, it's just like, you know, this is the control thing that's a lot of these say old school type of coaches. You know, the strategy they use. I mean, I hear stories about some of these old school guys and it was, you know, threatening them with either sending them to the minors or this or that, or, you know, and ruining your career or life almost. Right. It's we don't know if that to be the case for sure, but what would be the reason why besides, you could learn a little bit about the player, but at the end of the day, does that affect the guy's performance on the ice? You know, at the end, really, that's all.
I know he didn't ask Ivan.
Yeah,
that was a joke. I talked to him almost every, I talked to Provy almost every day, and when that whole thing came out, I said, "You got your phone cleared off, or you good?" You know, he goes, "He didn't ask me for my
phone.
He didn't ask me for my
phone. No chance he would ask someone like that for his phone.
No,
because he's a strong-willed individual that would tell him to go kick a rock,
right?
Yeah, but I think you know, evolution is an interesting term. I'm with you. I think. Like, so Jake Voracek tweeted at me after I've filed that story on Jarmo Kekalainen saying like, hey, this, you know, Babcock's gone. This guy needs to follow him out the door. And he said enough with the cancel culture bullshit. Like no one hates cancel culture more than me. Like, I think it's ridiculous that we throw people away, you know, lock them up and throw away the key. Sometimes like there needs to be a way to rehabilitate yourself. There needs to be a path back. No one canceled anyone here. Mike Babcock canceled himself.
That's it.
100%.
100%. So I agree. 100%.
If you can't get out of your own way, you deserve everything you get and then some.
There's
consequences and other collateral damage that comes with that. You made the decision to hire him. You need, like, I answer to bosses. You guys answer to bosses. We all have them. At some point, that becomes a real thing.
Right. Yeah. It has nothing to do with cancel culture. I mean, the bottom line is, as you alluded to earlier, you know, 10 years in that position, no real results, and then that hire in a critical time in the organization's, you know, evolution into the in the league, and you know, his shelf life. It's like, how does he still have a job? It's not, it has nothing to do with cancel culture. Just being honest.
How do you think some of these other GMs are watching it? They feel like Jason Botterill, he gets 3 and out in Buffalo.
I mean,
maybe he made a bad hire with Ralph Kruger, but he didn't abuse anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just had some shitty results, which everyone does in this league. It's invariable. And you're not going to win every trade, things like that. But how many GMs, coaches, whatever it might be, that have been through the ringer 3 years and out, 4 years and out, they're changed left and right for results, yet this is an egregious thing and kind of really mediocre results. And they're just like, What do you mean lose his job? Are you nuts? Yeah, stop canceling everyone, Frank.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Such an outrageous claim.
I know. Yeah, it really is. And, no, I had heard, I can't really say where, but I know we talked about, I can tell you off air, Frank, but like I had heard it started right away when he got to town before players. It started with coaches. There were some things that were said from a very good source that it started right there.
Oh, I believe
it. And you know what? Good on Biz. Good on
yes.
The way this like social media world has evolved. You guys have a voice, you know, Biz and his crew, everyone has their own voice. Dude had a lot to lose.
I agree.
Yeah, putting that out there. He has a job on a national platform at TNT with a league partner that I am certain was breathing down his neck those couple days saying, you got to walk this back. Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm good. If you need, basically, if you need to fire me, fire me, is essentially how I viewed it. And he stood up. There's power in that, especially as these, you know, hockey players are far behind other sports in finding their voice for good and bad. I think it's been to their positive for a long time, but that was the point of what I was saying is they're finding it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think it played out exactly the way it was supposed to. He canceled himself, and I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah,
nobody else. Is. Nobody else.
No one else to blame.
Yeah.
Did you ever think we'd talk so much Blue Jackets on a nasty?
I know, right?
I know. No shit. Yeah. Know.
That's
poor
crazy.
Jody Shelley.
Oh, yeah. Shells. Good man.
What a beauty.
I was gonna ask you quickly about the Senator situation with Pinto and Joseph, and if you've heard anything about what's going on there.
Yeah, I think the Flyers have let the Sens know that they, I guess the easiest way to say it, the cleanest way to say it, is they don't mind Matthew Joseph and would be willing to entertain something as the Sens are looking for a lifeline to get out of the cap hell that they're in so they can sign Shane Pinto, who, by the way, I don't know if you guys follow him on social media, is like an enormous Phillies fan. He keeps tweeting about the Phils, and I'm like, this guy needs to come to Philly.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
yeah.
But sure. The Sens aren't interested in moving him, so they're set on signing him. The thing is, they need to cast off someone, or what may happen is Josh Norris is dealing with yet another shoulder setback that if he starts the year on LTIR, which kind of seems likely at this point because he hasn't played a preseason game, that they can then sign Pinto using that space and don't have to do anything. At some point, though, whenever Norris is ready to come back, they're going to need to make that decision. And in fact, the Norris injury only heightens where Pinto is because they need support and help down the middle. Pinto, 20-goal guy. The Flyers, though, they can't be in a position to take on Matthew Joseph for free. 3 years left at 295. You need an asset. The team needs to give up an asset in order to take him on. The going rate that I've, you know, that other teams have sort of pegged the price at is the Sens got to move a first round pick to get someone to eat that salary. The Flyers, I don't think, are asking for that much, but it certainly shouldn't be free.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. What do you think about Ottawa, by the way, quickly, about their team?
I think they're
going to
be good, and I think they make the playoffs. I got the Sabres and Sens in.
Nice.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like where they're going.
Yeah,
they need a good start though. They can't tank their season. You know, people were asking me last year. It was like March. They had like a weekend where they dropped both games. They're like, did the Sens cost themselves their season this week? And I'm like, no, they did in November when they were 6-12-1 to start the year. Like you just can't do it.
Yeah. It's a tough hole to dig yourself out of for sure. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Lightning with the goaltending situation?
Stamkos.
They're in a tough spot for a team that's recently won 2 Stanley Cups. You've got tough decisions to make. Stamkos is one, and I guess the reaction on social media was really interesting to me because I guess at your heart you're a fan and you want to see that kind of continue. Like Stamkos has played his whole career there. He had that sort of, I don't want to, if you want to call it a temptation or fling as a free agent to go visit some other places, and ultimately came back. And the triumphs and mountain that they climbed to win those cups, especially the first one in the bubble, and to for him to kind of be right there in the thick of it, you know, you'd like to see him kind of finish that out. But at the same time, I look at it from a pure business perspective, which may be kind of cold, and that's Julian Brisebois has a team that lost in the first round and really wasn't that competitive. Can you really afford to sign Steven Stamkos for longer as he stretches towards 38 years old or whatever it might be? Or do you have to begin to, instead of signing Stamkos for whatever that number is, you can get two good players on the cap for that number? It's not easy. And the Vasilevsky injury is going to loom large. Their backup, Johansson, if you were to rank 1 to 64 in the goalies in the league, he is 64.
Oh, really? Well, okay.
So they're going to be doing something, whether it's claiming a goalie on waivers over the next week, whether it's making a small trade for someone, whether it's signing one of the unsigned guys that's still lingering out there. Yaroslav Halak is one of them.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They got to do something. But at the end of the day, I come back to Sergachev, Hedman, Kucherov, Point, Stamkos. Pretty damn good nucleus to have.
It is.
They
it
should is. Be okay.
Yeah.
Just got to play away from the net.
Yeah, you're right, though, about the goaltending. Yeah, that's the last thing they needed to lose there.
Yeah, but that's a blow.
I didn't know. I guess I did talk to Moose, Brian Elliott, a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even ask him. Is he not at any camp?
Yeah, he's unsigned. He's in the Halak situation of available. And they're familiar with him, too. Obviously, spending time there, he could have been the guy.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, what we were joking about the Ducks, but what do you think I've heard you would know way better than me that Verbeek isn't a huge fan of Zegras, or is that not the case? I've read that a couple times, but I know he signed the 3-year deal. Do you think that was a good deal for Anaheim? Do you think Zegras is going to end up leaving, or, you know, after the 3 years, or is he committed to playing in Anaheim, or have you heard anything about that?
I think it was a tactical error in trying to sign Trevor Zegras to a bridge deal, because I think, look, he's still 21. He's got back-to-back 60-plus point seasons. Obviously, the creativity is there. He's a very marketable star and name. He's been on the cover of video games. He's a special player, and I think there's an immaturity there is the fairest way to say it. And not, I don't mean anything like off the ice or anything. I think there's an immaturity to his game. It needs to be more complete. And so the question has been, can you win with Trevor Zegras? The only reason you don't sign him to an 8-year ticket at a bigger number and bank all that savings in a few years when the cap's really going up and you're like, man, we bought all the very best years of Trevor Zegras' career. How amazing is that? Is if you have that question in the back of your head, is if you're saying to yourself, I don't know if I can win with this guy. I don't know if he's exactly what we need. I think the 3 years gives you some time to figure it out. I don't think there's nearly as much animosity as maybe you guys had, you know, sort of mentioned. I think there's question marks, and I think there's enough time in between now and whenever this deal is up to smooth out whatever discord may have been lingering. These things eventually solve themselves. You either have the player that, you know, you're ready and willing to pay when this deal is up and you're happy to, or you have a guy that they're saying we're going to move on from, and the next team will have to answer some of those same questions too.
Right.
Yeah. I like the way you described that. You know, we've seen players similar, you know, to his skill sets, you know, come along, and, you know, when you're that good and that skilled and that creative
and that young
you know, like you're learning the pro game. You have enough skill to kind of get away with some of the, you know, the absolute structure that most coaches are trying to implement to get that whole player that you're kind of describing. It might just take another 2 or 3 years for him to actually buy into that. And as you're mentioning, at that point, you reevaluate. You either you bought in and you kind of completed your game or worked towards completing your game, or you just move on. But I think he's such a highly skilled, creative player that it's just like he's just kind of in this – he's getting away with it because he kind of can, but they're kind of like losing patience with maybe like maturing at the rate that they want him to.
That happens. I mean, development is not it's not linear.
Right.
And to bring it back to Philly, I kind of view Trevor Zegras and his game. I think Joel Farabee is a lowercase version of that. Obviously a really skilled, talented player that at times you're just banging your head against the wall. Like how do we find a way to complete this puzzle? And something is there. The Flyers went a different path and sort of went the medium route, not short term, not long term, and allowed themselves some time to figure it out. But he's 2 years further down the track now than Zegras was.
Yeah, I feel like, and this may be old school thinking, and I know you don't have a whole lot of cap to play with a lot of times, but I feel like with a guy like Zegras, or when there's a player like that, I feel like bringing in a veteran that's been around the game, that you're not having to pay a whole lot of money to kind of
bring
Yogs back. He was great with the young kids, but yeah. I feel like doing that helps. What's that? Killorn. Yeah. Great point. Yeah. They did sign him. Even Nick Delorier, when he was on with us and he had obviously played there, he said they kind of said to him, hey, grab this kid and show him what it's like. So he was actually getting him up early, bringing him to the rink. He goes, you need to be the first guy to the rink and bring me a coffee.
Yeah.
So he was picking up D'Lo his coffee, but he was like, we're trying to teach him. I mean, this is 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
So, but that's a great point by Killorn, you, Frank. Yeah. I forgot about Killorn being there. And even Goody's such a pro and treats people the right way. You know, hopefully that rubs off on him because he's a hell of a talent.
I view Killorn and Gudis, and to a lesser extent, Ilya Labushkin, who's there. Those guys are scaffolding. They're support pieces to what you're trying to build.
Yeah,
and right. You can't really get there and do it without the scaffolding. They're not the sexiest names. They're not earning the most money. They're not going to produce the most, but they're there for a reason. So I think that's going to help. I still think the Ducks have a long, long way to go. They've got nice pieces. Leo Carlson, the latest from the draft, I think steps right into the NHL and is really going to be that two-way center that they've been longing for. But the Ducks are, they need support. Like that defense core last year was like really hard to watch.
Yeah. Sure was.
They need more scaffolding.
Yeah, I need some more scaffolding. Frank, we appreciate your time, man. I know you got to run. You got your own stuff you got to do. I got about 50 more questions, but maybe we'll get to it another day. But the last one is, how far are the Phillies going?
Ooh. So you're not going to believe me when I say this, but last year, for the first time in my life, I bought season tickets in August for the Phillies, and I was like, they're going to the World Series. I don't know what, something about that team, they're insanely likable. They seem like they have some kind of, I don't know if it's mojo or whatever it is about them that is hard to describe. I just think this Braves team is really freaking good.
They are.
And I'm kind of thinking that the run ends here. It's not going to be a short series, but it's five games and it doesn't really take a lot of slip up, especially when you don't know who your game one starter is to really be in a hole.
Yeah, true. But I'll tell you,
I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but that's
no. Listen,
it's honest.
Yeah, though. You're being honest. But I tell you what, man, just watching the last two games, I mean, it's fucking awesome, man. And you're right about the city. When you're winning, you know, you did it in 2010, and man, that place is electric. Yep. And the players look like you said, they have this mojo. They all seem together.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is easy when you're winning.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier. But it's fun to watch them, man. So maybe they pull something off here. I hope they do.
That's why I thought it was important for like TK and those other guys that they showed on TV the other night to be at the game.
Yeah.
See it, feel it, understand what it could be for you.
Yes.
And then collectively drag everyone there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a good
100%.
Point.
That's awesome.
Awesome, Frank.
You're always good to be with you guys. Have a great year.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
You too, man. We'll talk soon.
Take care. Big thank you to Frank Saravalli for hopping on again. Always appreciate his insights.
I could have talked to him for another 2 hours. Like
we didn't even scratch the surface.
I know. He knows. It's amazing how much info he gets, and well, he works hard for it, obviously. And it's cool to find out some of the stuff that he knows.
So, yeah.
Nice talking to him, as always, our partner.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I always find it fascinating how much digging and how much work it is to have these scoops. You know, when I was playing, you always think of these, I don't want to use the words to the media guys as like snakes, but they're, you know, right. They're always fishing, but you understand their line of work and what they're trying to do. But to have the insights, you have to have these conversations to have these insights to, to be a true insider. Right. I mean, but they're digging in and they're making the calls and they're banging the drum. And it's always good to connect with Frank.
Yeah. I got to imagine he's just on that phone. Well, I mean, you said it before, like you got to be on 24/7. I mean, for what he's doing.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And his show, you know, he's got his show daily Face Off live, and it's really informative every day, you know, at noon. So it's nice having him on.
Yeah. He keeps reminding me how much I don't know. I know shit. You know, I listen to him, I'm like, well, oh, yeah.
You're in Hawaii, Jamaica. It's tough to keep track of everything when you're flying around your helicopter going to have sushi in Maryland on a private plane with the clear guys. What?
It only happened once.
It still happened.
Yeah. It wasn't a copter.
It was a plane.
PJ.
PJ. That's what I said.
Well, I was hungry that day, you know. I just needed a little Maryland sushi.
Yeah. I got that.
So, took care of it. Ready to rock your Nass.
I'm ready
it's that
rock.
Time.
It is that time for Clear Questions brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com. Punch in, Riggs. Nasty 2023 and get 35% off of your order.
Whew.
Bryce Settlemeyer just put a big order in the other day. With our Clear Rum code. And so everybody make sure you do it in PA only, not in New Jersey. Best drink going.
There you go. I think we're ready to go.
Let's do it.
Here you go, Baller.
Let's go. We got Anthony Giampaolo over on Twitter. He wants to know, do players prefer to open the season at home or start the year on the road?
Good question, actually.
I mean, it's a great question. I always say home because it's like the energy, you know, just get it out of the way. You get the introductions, get the energy going. But, you know, there have been several times we started on the road, and it is what it is. You don't really think much of it. Everyone's excited to get back out there, but there's something special about starting at home, just those home games, the energy.
Yeah,
Philly,
for sure.
I mean, it's
undeniable. I could probably go either way, but I think you're right about that energy and everybody's pumped. No matter where you're supposed to finish, you know, you're always excited game one.
Yeah.
I remember a few years back, we actually opened in Vegas. It was after they had just gone to the finals, and we won that game. Mm. And I just remember that was an awesome feeling going in there, being on the road. You know, you're the underdog too, because Vegas basically had the same team, and we ended up winning. But, yeah, I think starting at home is pretty cool.
But I will say, I'm thinking back to, I forget what year it was, my second year, maybe my first, but we started off on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Whistler.
That was fun.
We had a team building thing going on there. It was pretty wild.
That was wild. And remember, that's where Jesse
got a hold of
my buddy Cass with a high stick. And
oops.
Someone said, just sold a lot more season tickets with that.
Yeah, I know.
Won't say who said
helped me earn my roster spot.
And it was, you already had a spot, but you were definitely good for every game once he got suspended, because you guys were kind of flip-flopping.
Yeah.
I do remember, too, the start of that was that we were starting in Calgary, won that game. Danny B had, like, two goals, and one was just he had a guy draped on his back. Came into the goal. I was going to say the hoop.
Yeah.
The basketball. Yeah. But he went to the net hard with a guy on his back, scored a goal. I remember someone on the bench going, that's why he makes $6 million.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was he was making. But, I guess either way you're fired up, right, for the start of the season. But great question.
Yeah, it is.
We got one from Bob Ankarski. He sent us an email. Best and worst barns in the American League.
Wow.
Let's say one of the better ones now, the Lehigh, the Phantoms, yeah, really the Flyers nice. Minor league team. You know, back in the day, I always remember like Hershey was that building. It was it was NHL nice. Building, rocking. But there were some real bad places to play. I mean, I'm thinking, well, I don't think Binghamton was the greatest place to play.
No. Every time we went to Binghamton and I went to my room, I swear they just had a poker tournament in there.
Cigarette smoke?
So yeah. Bad. Cigars. But yeah, that building, it was kind of dumpy as far as the locker room goes, but it was packed because you couldn't put that many in it, and they were like right on top
right
of
on
you.
Top
but
of you, yeah.
Yeah, not a great building. What was that called? A war memorial? Was that called? Because there's a
few
war memorials.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think Syracuse was what war memorial as well.
Man, I used to not really like I shouldn't say I didn't like the old Hershey Arena, but really when we left and
one?
You think about
Before
it, man, it was so cool.
Yeah,
like our buddy Bryce plays there. Bryce Krause is playing junior there for Bruce Boudreau's junior team,
right?
And it's pretty cool. I see a lot of his videos, and that building's cool. But I guess Bingo was pretty.
It's
just
pretty
the
rough.
Locker room setup. There weren't real stalls. It was kind of shitty, but.
Yeah, I would say probably.
I would say Lehigh is probably one of the best. Now.
I would say so.
I think in Henderson, or is it Hendersonville, where the Vegas is it Henderson or Hendersonville? I think it's Henderson, but I think they have a brand new facility that was built.
Okay,
it's supposed to be nice, and then the Seattle's team out that's up north in California, they're supposed to be nice too. But
yeah, there's anyway. There's a few buildings we haven't seen. You know, the American League's changed a lot since we were there. And you know, you think of these old school towns and buildings. Like now, it's like there's so much more strategy around the where the affiliate is and the money they pour into the facilities themselves. So yeah. It's changed a lot. There's less and less of these dumpy type of
places. Oh,
Springy
Lehigh or not Lehigh? Zombies. That fucking dumb.
Oh, well, yeah. They're not. Yeah.
Holy shit. Couldn't think of the name.
Zombies. Zombie apocalypse. Yeah. Yeah.
So, good
question. All right. Good question. Yep.
We got one final one from Construction Kurt over on Instagram.
Ooh.
What was the team's best win song for the locker room? I assume Mac Miller back in 2012.
That was one of my favorites.
Yeah. I can't even remember when I was playing what we used for win songs. I'm not even sure we had a win song, but that is one that comes to mind just based on like clips that I saw.
That kind of went nuts.
It did, yeah.
And Max from Pittsburgh, you know, it's kind of funny. We got to meet him. We went to one of his shows in Philly. It was me and Hartsey and Scott Hartnell and Wayne Simmons. And God, it was one other guy with us. And then I took Peyton with me, too, and her friend. But we got to meet him, and he was the nicest. I was like, he might be like a punk or something, you know, because he was young.
Yeah.
He was the nicest dude, and really? We had a Flyer jersey there. I was like, hey, you want to throw it on and take a picture? He goes, man, I'm from Pittsburgh. I'll get killed, but I'll sign it. So he signed it, and I gave it to Bryce. He actually has it, so it's pretty cool. But I would say that one was, like, the biggest. I mean, because they were playing it at Xfinity.
I remember, yeah.
They
it was
were,
a big
I
deal.
I mean, it was – it's a great song, and that was brings back a lot of memories. Every time I hear it, I think about that 2012 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, too.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap, Nast.
That's it?
You can go have your nap now. Shut the day down.
Kids got to work while you guys look into that bag you brought for Debo. I don't know what's in there.
Just some books. And
cheech
do a little,
chong.
Yeah, let's do a little studying.
Yeah, some studying, all right. You'll be focused or asleep.
Nah, focused.
Okay. All right.
Ready to go for next week. Just tune in next week, 129. Until then, subscribe, like, comment, ask questions. And until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.